Brad, joining us in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is Eric Halpern. He's a financial risk management professional with more than 20 years of experience in insurance, retirement products, and corporate finance, and he has authored the report for the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, Stabilizing Connecticut Teacher Pensions. And Eric, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Thank you.
Good morning. What is it, seriously, that the pensions have that has to be changed? And I know people hate to hear this as far as the teachers go, but how do we work out the system that we are now in and still be fair?
That's really important. You know, we want to honor our commitments that we've made to our teachers and do it in a way that also is suitable for younger teachers. You know, the system itself was designed over 100 years ago, you know, to meet the needs of the people who taught our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. You know, we've learned a lot since then. The system itself is set up, it's kind of a cross between Social Security and a defined benefit program where teachers get a defined percent of their pay. They set aside 6% each paycheck. And the state makes up the rest, and, you know, invests the money for their retirement. It would serve teachers a lot better, in my opinion, and I think it would serve taxpayers better as well to take a little out of their pay and more like a 401k or some sort of hybrid, set that aside and give them individual accounts where they can have a little more security and taxpayers can have more predictability.
Why is it that when you mention a 401k to a state employee, why is it that they all say no?
Well, you know, I think that there's been, you know, in the private sector, there was a big shift a number of years ago from defined benefit, you know, a traditional pension to defined contribution. And a lot of companies use that opportunity to not only change how benefits were paid, but to change the level of benefits and cut them back. And so I can kind of understand why somebody looking at that transition today might be a little wary. But I would say that it doesn't necessarily need to happen that way. And also, I would say that when teachers take a careful look, they might come to a different conclusion. You know, at the analysis I have up at YankeeInstitute.org, I talk about some of these issues. The current system is very generous, but only with teachers who've taught a long time. And today's workforce is a lot more mobile. People change jobs. People, you know, don't work in the same career for their entire lives as they might have, you know, a couple generations ago. And the current system provides a very generous benefit to people who've worked 20, 30, 40 years. But if a teacher works 10 years or less, they walk away really with nothing. They just the money they put in, they get that back with interest. It's as if the state didn't provide them any benefit at all beyond a place to be on kind of a bank account for their money.
Eric, just so the public understands, and perhaps you can elaborate on this, teachers are not state employees. They are employees of the local municipalities where they teach, but the state administers the teacher's pension fund, correct?
That is exactly right. So, as I mentioned, it was designed many, many, many years ago. And, you know, many people are surprised to learn that it's not, that their retirement isn't handled by their district. So, teachers have 6% of their pay taken out each paycheck. It gets sent to the state. And then when teachers retire, the state is the one who's responsible for meeting the obligations. So, you know, this does do something. You know, Governor Malloy proposed shifting some of the burden of the pension back to the towns. In some ways, you know, there is a case to be made that to the extent pensions are based on salaries and towns control the salaries, that towns should also contribute. Unfortunately, you know, these proposals are to shift the burden to the towns are flawed in some very significant ways. But even so, you know, the state, because of past mistakes, is the one responsible, and their contributions have been growing and increasing really at an unsustainable rate. So something does need to be done and fairly soon.
But if the states if the state ever did this, if they said, yes, can you imagine what this would do to the budgets in the towns?
Yes. I mean, I live in West Hartford, and, you know, West Hartford sent notices to over 230 teachers last month saying that their jobs were at risk. You know, West Hartford employs about 900 teachers. So, you know, we're talking about a quarter of the workforce, and this is today's education, today's kids. It really has the potential to negatively affect towns across the state. And you know, a solution really does need to be found before you know, today's kids end up paying the price for mistakes that were made many years ago.
And your report does some of that, including having teachers increase their contribution rates. Talk about that.
Sure. Connecticut is not the only state with a system like this. There are about a dozen other, I forget the exact number, 10, 11, 12. But the average contribution that's required in similar state systems is about 8%. Our teachers pay 6%. The extra 2% is not a lot. As we, you know, the state these days, their contribution has gone up to something like 32% of teacher payroll each year. But it would bring the teachers more into line with other states. In fact, I think it's not unreasonable to increase the contribution a little further, given that teachers have an exclusion on their income taxes if they retire in state. That said, you know, it is not the question of where the money comes from doesn't really solve the fundamental problem, which is that this is a system designed for another age, and we can, you know, we can figure out, should the towns pay more, should the teachers pay more? Those will shift the burden around, but they don't get at the real question as to whether what we've promised our teachers is sustainable going forward and will work for the state in the future.
Eric Halpern, a financial risk expert and actuary, our special guest. If we don't do something, Eric, what will happen?
Well, as it is, the state is putting in, as I mentioned, over 30% of teacher pay each year to stabilize the system, and that translates to more than $1 billion a year. I think it's going to be $1.3 billion soon, and it's increasing. And you know, that money, every dollar that goes there, you know, is a dollar that can't be spent on classroom education.
Eric, as part of the problem, and we're running out of time. As part of the problem, the investment, are they expecting too much on their return? Are they inflating the expected return on the investments?
Yes. So whenever you value a pension plan and you figure out how much needs to be set aside today to pay for tomorrow's promises, you assume that the money you set aside today will grow. The plan assumes that indefinitely into the future, those assets will grow 8% a year. And we know that that's not realistic. In fact, the fund itself over the last 10 years has grown less than 5%, and it's invested pretty aggressively besides. So the costs, you know, the actuaries say there's a $13 billion gap between what the state owes its teachers and what it's set aside to pay them. Using more realistic rates of interest rate, that $13 billion, the real number could be not $13 billion, but double or triple that amount.
Wow.
Whoa. If people want to get a report, how can they get one?
Visit yankeeinstitute.org, and you'll find the report, Connecticut Teachers Retirement System, How Can It Be Stabilized?
Very good.